Mark 2:18 and 20. And John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. We thank you, God. Thank you. This is a time of worship that we can have with our kids, Lord, and we can model to them, show them, God, what passionate worship that you deserve looks like, Father. And Lord, I thank you for the video, God, and I pray that, our church would help so many more kids, God, in this transition, Lord. The Bible says that, Lord, that your children, God, belong in families, Lord. And so I pray, God, that even for temporary, Lord, that you would call families to practice the gift of hospitality, Lord. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And now, God, we just come humbly to your word, and we ask you to speak to us through it, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. And we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Before I go back into the text, let me just do a little refresh a little bit and about fasting that we're doing. If you're new to our church or this is your first time you're coming, I just started a three-week series. I'm going to finish this week. And next week, I'll get into the theme of the year, which is, you know, what you can kind of see from behind me, which is now concerning the spiritual. So we're going to talk about the spiritual life. But as we talk about fasting, as we end this time, today my message is called Why We Fast at SP. But let me just talk about fasting. Or these are some things that you should be asking yourself some questions during this time. Number one, am I confident that this desire to fast is God-given? What type of fast does God want me to undertake? You know, the best thing when we talk about Christian discipleship is not trying to figure out what you want to do. The best part of Christian discipleship or how you really grow is to figure out what God wants to do. If we only figure out what we want to do, then there's no real need for God in our life at all. But it's trying to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? There needs to be that shift that occurs. And so we understand the scriptures, Jesus is led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. So it's the Spirit's leading, and so make sure this is also the leading of the Spirit. The second question you should ask yourselves are my motives right? Is there any hidden desire inside to impress others? Remember, the Bible tells us your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The third question to ask are, what are my spiritual objectives in this fast? Is it personal sanctification? Is it intercession? Is it special burdens or divine guidance or blessing? You want revival in your life, or you just want to be with him, or you just simply want to join the church because that's what the church is doing. Paul says, I press on toward the goal. The last question is, am I determined above all else to minister to the Lord in this fast? Am I stealing time away with God during this time? The Bible tells us they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Remember, fasting without prayer is dieting. We're not here to diet. We're here to fast. It's important. And so the time that you take doing eating or other activities, that now you spend time with the Lord. Over the week, my wife was talking to one of my kids. I've been told I shouldn't tell too many stories about my kids because my kids don't like it. But I just omit their name. And so, you know, that kind of works. So you don't know which one it is. But one of my kids, you know, they were talking through things, and so my wife said, "You know, so and so, you gotta make sure that fasting is not just not doing an activity. You're supposed to be praying." And my daughter said, "I am," you know, like really defiantly. And so my wife asked, "What are you praying for?" And she replied that this fast would be over. So she is fasting, right? So it's good. She's praying. She's replacing activity. You could probably figure out who it is now that I share that story. But the other thing, part two, is, you know, do not make the mistake of judging the effectiveness of your fast and intercession by how you feel. You know, a lot of times in seasons of prayer and fasting, you'll find the going actually harder instead of easier. Sometimes you would find that you're actually experiencing less liberty than you thought that you would. This is often when really the most is happening spiritually around us. Remember, this is a wrestling. This is a heavenly warfare that we're engaging in. You know, the captain of the host didn't promise you a walkover, but he promised a fight. And then he also gave us the weapons to win this fight. Often you will see much later the results of the fast, but the promise still stands. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so don't base like, oh, I don't really feel closer to God. Trust me, it's happening. There's something that's happening unseen around us. And so remember, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Another way we can say that is we walk by faith, not by our feelings. And you got to make sure that you're doing that. Now, practically, keep warm. Thank God the weather has been quite nice. Usually it's so freezing during this time. Remember, the fire of your metabolism is being fed with low-grade fuel. So consequently, you're not generating as much heat as you normally would. And so your body tends to feel a little colder more. So make sure you keep warm, put more clothes on. Drink plenty of water during this time. You know, make sure you shower, but try not to shower with such hot water because it'll actually zap your energy during this time. But shower with warm water. You know, regular light exercise is probably recommended during this time. And obviously, stay away from caffeinated drinks. You want to, you know, continue on. Next week, we'll talk about how to break a fast together as we'll be doing that on Wednesday next Sunday, and then the Wednesday after, we'll be doing that, okay? All right. So let's go back to our message here. In Mark, interesting enough, and we talked about this in the morning prayer. In fact, by the way, you know, one aspect of this fast is not just to fast and do it on your own, but it's meant to be a communal activity. And so, I really want to encourage you because, I mean, right now the sanctuary is just about full. But, you know, in our morning prayers, it's like one quarter full. And so, I mean, and think that we have three services like this. And so a lot of people are basically not coming out to morning prayer, which is one of the key components of a corporate fast. It's not just about you doing it on your own. It's about coming together as a church. And, you know, I'm doing my best to teach, and we're going through the book of Matthew. And I really want to encourage you guys to do that. And you know, maybe your work schedule in such a way you got to get in the morning. Well, we also meet on Saturday. And so in that regard, there's really no excuse that we have to wake up, come together as a church, because that's what it means to have a corporate fast. Not just your own personal one, is that there's a gathering together that takes place. And so we talked about this this past week in Matthew, as Matthew writes this, but I use the Luke passage. And interestingly enough, John's disciples and also the disciples and also the Pharisees joined together, which seems to be a very unlikely pairing. But if you came to morning prayer, you heard me explain that these guys were still operating under this old orthodoxy, and Jesus was proclaiming a new orthodoxy. In other words, the kingdom of God. And so, and really more than anything else, this upside-down kingdom. And so John's disciples and also the Pharisees come together, and they ask this question, hey, why are we fasting, but how come you guys don't fast? You guys are disciples. You guys are followers. You know, kind of what's wrong with you? Why don't you do what seems normal to most of the Jews living during that time? And so Jesus responded, and really a great response, because remember, they were at Matthew's home, and he had created a huge banquet. So it almost looked like a wedding feast was at hand. And so at a feast, he's telling them about a wedding banquet. And he says that when the bridegroom is there, the friends, they don't fast, they party, they celebrate. But then he makes this ominous claim about what's going to happen in the future. And he says that once the bridegroom will be taken away, which happens, it's going to happen. And then he says, on that day, then they will fast. Well, brothers and sisters, I want you to know we're still in that day. And so our fast is going to be over when the bridegroom comes back. And we see this, the fulfillment of this in the book of Revelation at the end. And so until the bridegroom comes back, we have the privilege of fasting. Amen? Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Say, you have the privilege of fasting now. Paul himself, as he is talking about his journey, this is 2 Corinthians 11:27. He also says that he was in fastings often. He says, I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Notice that he makes this comparison. He says, I know what it's mean to be hungry, but that's not what he's talking about. He says, but I also know what it means to go without food. It's the same word in Greek, nesteo, which means to fast. And so he says, I've not had food, which is the hunger, but I've had seasons also where I deliberately didn't have food, and I sought God's face, and I fasted during those times. Fasting and prayer, I mean, there's a little section I like to put in every sermon. Fasting and prayer changes the world. It has changed the world. Now, to all the English people here today, here's one for you, okay? Last week, I talked to the Koreans. Today, the English. You guys get something special here. So John Wesley is writing in one of his journals, and he's writing about a specific day. The king of Britain, he had called for a day of solemn prayer and fasting because there was a threatened invasion of the French was coming about very soon. And so Wesley, in his journal, this is what he wrote. He said, the fast day was a glorious day, such as England has scarce seen since the Restoration. Every church in the city was more than full, and a solemn seriousness sat on every face. Surely God heareth prayer, and there will yet be a lengthening of our tranquility. And then in a footnote, he later added, this is after the fast. So after the fast, obviously the invasion was thwarted. And he said, humility was turned into national rejoicing, for the threatened invasion by the French was averted. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. Can you imagine? You know, I think most of us, some of us may like this or not, we could be having French service right now. You know what I mean? I mean, we could, international church could be not English, but French. I mean, I don't mean to sound negative. Sorry, Sandro, right? I'm just saying. You know, I mean, imagine if something like this happened. Who knows, right? And I'm not saying the English are better or anything, but we just speak English, okay? So right now. And so it's just an easy way of looking at this, but it's amazing. You know, England was saved from bloodshed, all kinds of things. The king proclaimed a fast. And Wesley is making this connection that prayer and fasting saved England. And like I said, prayer and fasting changes the world. So why do we go about doing this? Why every year do we spend this time in fasting as a church? Number one, I have 4 points, simple. Number one, we do it for intimate encounters. Intimate encounters. We recognize that worldly desires can distract us from intimacy with God. I mean, it's just so simple. Worldly desires can distract us from intimacy with God. Turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Let me find this myself. Luke 14, we're going to read from verse 16 to 20. And he said to him, a certain man was giving a big dinner and invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, "I have bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused." And another one said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come." And the slave came back and reported to his master. Then the head of the household became angry, said to the slave, "Go out at once into the streets, lanes of the city, bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and lame." And the slave said, "Master, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room." And the master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges, and compel them to come into my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner." And so we see this parable that Jesus is giving. Notice the first one, it says, "I've gone out and I bought a piece of land," as dealing with his wealth. Now, first of all, we know that's a lame excuse because no one would buy a piece of land without first looking at it. No one would do that. And yet here's this guy, and so his wealth took him away basically from an encounter with the Lord, from eating in this banquet feast. The next guy that comes in excuses, "Well, I've bought oxen and I want to test them out." Now, of course, this is another lame excuse because if he bought the oxen, he already tested it out. And so he's making some excuse, and this would really talk more about his livelihood. And so the first one was distracted by his wealth. The second one was distracted by his job. And then the third one says, "Well, you know, I've married, and so, you know, I need to go and basically spend some time with my wife." It's another lame excuse. And so we see here it was their wealth, their possessions, their livelihood, their work, and it was relationships. And we recognize that probably in our life, these are probably the 3 main things that really take us away of our intimacy with God. And so he invites us to this feast, and I should make a little note by that, by saying that in this context, when an invitation is given, actually it's called a double invitation. In other words, the invitation is given, they RSVP and say, "Yes, I'm going to come," and then the servant goes out, then welcome them to this feast. And so these are guys that said, "I'm already in." In other words, if I'm going to use the kind of bring it to today, these are like people in the church that said, "Jesus, you're my Lord. I am in." And yet when the servant comes and says, "Okay, now it's time to really go in. Now it's really time to put your commitment, put your money, you know, where your mouth is," and says, "Well, my work, I'm a little too busy at work, you know. Well, you know, I'm dating this new girl now, and so, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm really kind of, you know, busy counting my money," or, I mean, I don't know if people do that, but, you know, something to that effect. And so next thing, I can't come to this thing. And so we can see that worldly desires, they do distract us from this intimacy with God. And so this is an important time that we actually get ourselves away from that to spend this time with the Lord, to walk in that place of intimacy. Yesterday, I had a softball game yesterday, and so I went. And one of my teammates actually used to come to SP a while ago. He was a PhD student, and he joined our team, and he's been playing, you know, on our team for a while. And but now, I mean, he's dating a local girl. Even though he's a white guy, local girl. So, you know, they go to local church now. And so, you know, we're talking, and, you know, afterwards, he looked at me and he said, "You know, I'm doing it too." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, I'm you know, because our teammates are around, so we don't want to say we're fasting together, right?" And he said, "I'm doing it too." And I was like, "Yeah." He said, "You know what you're doing right now and what the church does right now." And I go, "Oh, yeah, you are." You know, and he hasn't been at SP for like 2 years now. He says, "You are." And he goes, "In fact, my brother and I, we're doing this. It's like become a tradition and we love it." And then we were talking a little bit more about it. And he was saying, "You know, the best thing is that," he says, "my mind is so free. I have so much more time." And he was saying, and he was just relaying to me, is how much of his time goes into preparing his meals. You know, like he lives in Montauk, and there's so many restaurants. And he's just like, every single day, he's got to make 3 decisions. You know, he's a single guy. Like, where should I have breakfast? Where should I have lunch? You know, this is a lunch crowd is during this time. And so I got to go during this time. So I got to make sure my work is, you know, and then dinner time. Where am I going to have dinner? And he says, so much of my time, my mind is preoccupied about where, when, what am I going to eat? And he says, I'm so much more freer, you know, and so my mind thinks better. And I have more time to spend with God. And I feel closer. And I was like, you got it, bro. You know, I mean, I should have asked him to come and share a testimony. You know, but it's true. I mean, we're so preoccupied, but we have this one season, and hopefully you don't do this just during this time, but to free ourselves a bit from all these distractions and say, God, this is just me and you, right? It's just me and you. It's really fasting reminds us that we live because of God. It's true. We live because of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, this is what he says. He says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. It's true. I like Eugene Peterson's translation. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words that flow from God's mouth. It's so important for us. Our food, brothers and sisters, does not sustain us. Christ sustains us. Our food may give our bodies a little bit of power and energy, but it's Christ that truly sustains everything about us during this time. And we fast, right, to walk in that place of intimacy, for intimate encounters with the Lord. And I could tell you testimony after testimony after testimony how people have been so drawn near to the Lord in a season of corporate fast. Number two, why do we fast at SP? Number two, we fast for increased power. For increased power. Matthew 17, 21 says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This kind was talking about a kind of demon. I'm going to talk about that. That's kind of our slide that's over here. We see Michael about to slay a demon there. And so we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. And the Bible makes it clear that there are many different kinds. And in fact, not only are there different kinds, but there's even levels. There's like a malevolent hierarchy. Because he says in the gospel, he says that if you just sweep it up and don't take care of it, he'll bring back demons seven times more wicked than yourself. And so we see that there's this malevolent hierarchy. I mean, we're going to get all into that later part of this year. But there's a particular kind. There's in a higher part in this malevolent hierarchy that in this place there's a only this kind can be cast out, can be exercised by prayer and fasting. And so there's something about the prayer and fasting that aids us, that really, more than anything else, brings us into this place of power. It releases God's power in our life. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, or now we call CRU, because it's not cool to use the word crusade anymore. And so they call it CRU now. And probably, I would say, probably there's no modern figure that has done more for the discipline of fasting than Dr. Bill Bright. And Dr. Bill Bright in the 80s was reading and just recognized that, or I should say in the 90s, was recognizing that America needed revival. And so he began to research and go through revival history and begin to see certain things. And he recognized that one of the keys to revival in a nation was people got together in concentrated prayer and fasting. And he wrote a book called This Coming Great Revival. You guys should read it. An incredible book. And this is what Bill Bright says. And this is basically he's talking about fasting. He says, fasting as it relates to prayer is the spiritual atomic bomb our Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil. Isn't that powerful? He says fasting as it relates to prayer is the spiritual atomic bomb our Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil. Are you in some way in the grips of the enemy today? Maybe you're doing things that you know you shouldn't do, but you can't help but doing. Maybe there's a stronghold over your life, or you're wrapped yourself in addiction for whatever reasons. You want the atomic bomb of getting free? Well, Bill Bright, the scriptures tell us it's fasting. Prayer and fasting is the atomic bomb as it pertains to destroying the strongholds of evil. In fact, in Daniel chapter 10, as he goes on his 21-day fast, remember Gabriel, the angel, comes to him, and he says, well, from the moment you started praying, I was released to you, but actually, I was fighting, and then God sent Michael to come, and he was fighting over the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece and all these things, and he basically was telling Daniel that his fasts and prayers helped Michael defeat the territorial spirits of the prince of Persia and Greece. And then he released Gabriel to release the answer of his prayers. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just one man. It wasn't just one man sought God's face for 21 days in prayer and fasting. And those prayers and fasting enabled angelic beings. It kind of fueled them in some way. It's kind of a mystery. We'll talk about that towards the rest of this year as well when we get to spiritual warfare. But there was something about that prayer and fasting that empowered Michael and Gabriel to defeat and then release the message, release the answer to prayer. And it's for increased power in our life. And brothers and sisters, every single one of us, we need increased power in our lives. Amen? Number three, it's for intentional unity. Intentional unity. Joel 1:14. Joel cries out to the nation, consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. You'll notice that time and time again, when the nation was in crisis, when there were big decisions to be made, when they were confronted with enemies that were beyond their ability, kings, prophets, they would gather, priests would gather the nation to intentional unity, to come together to humble themselves before the Lord. We see it all throughout. We see Samuel doing it in Mizpah in 1 Samuel 7. Esther does it in Esther chapter 4. Nehemiah does it in Nehemiah chapter 9. Every single one of them confronted by something that was beyond their ability. And all call the nation of Israel to a corporate fast, to be united in purpose, to fight, and to take a stand. And in every single one of these situations, guess what? God moved. God heard their prayers. They had humbled themselves, and God moved on their behalf. It was powerful. We see this time and time again. We see this in history. Abraham Lincoln, the president of the United States, on March 30th, 1863, right in the middle of the American Civil War, he proclaimed the National Day of Prayer and Fasting. This is what he would write. He says this. It's on the screen. He says, now therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do, by this my proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of worship, public worship, and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. He called a whole nation and he said, look, this is bad. Our nation is at war with one another. This is not good. And so as the President of the United States of America, I proclaim this Thursday to be a national day of prayer and fasting. And we find out that shortly after that, we know the war ends. It's amazing how this works. It's something about this intentional unity. That when people come together, it's not, see, it's a two-way thing. The Lord gives a vision to a leader. The leader expresses the vision to the nation, the congregation, the family, whatever it may be. And then the family, the nation, the congregation responds. And when there's that partnership that's happening, right, the vision's given, the proclamation is laid out, and then the people gather together in intentional unity, God moves on their behalf. And so, as a senior pastor of Solomon's Porch, make a proclamation to this community and all the communities that are part of SP. And I'm calling the church to come together for a season of prayer and fasting, to wake up a little bit earlier in the morning. Yeah, it's a little bit inconvenient. I'm not asking you to do it every single day, right, for the rest of your life, just for this season of fasting. You know, honestly, let me just say something. There are some of you that have been going to church for like 10 plus years. I've never seen you at morning prayer. I think there's something wrong with that, right? And your kids are grown up now, right? So they don't need you in the mornings as much as they did when you were younger before. And so I think that we have no excuse to step in and to come together in this intentional unity to gather together and pray together. Amen? Thank you, Nate. Amen? Right? Now, amen, let me just give you a little teaching. Amen simply means I agree, right? And so we're going to, but I don't want you to just agree with your mouth because that's cheap, okay? You agree with your alarm clock. You agree with your, you know, with your going to sleep a little earlier the night before. You agree by getting in the taxi or whatever it may be. So, amen?
Amen.
All right, okay. The last one, and really to me, this is really the most important one. And especially in this time right now, it's number four. It's for insurmountable circumstances. Insurmountable circumstances. We see time and time again in the Bible that God's people responded with insurmountable circumstances by humbling themselves before Him with prayer and fasting. Esther said, for such a time as this. Brothers and sisters, we are in a special time as this. I've always said that we fast at the beginning of the year, not only to start the year right by giving God our first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but also prepare ourselves for what is coming in the year, good or bad, that happens in the year. And it's a way of preparing ourselves for this. Years ago, my mom would go to Korea quite a bit. She had a lot of support. My parents were missionaries in Uzbekistan for 17 years. And so she would go to Korea once in a while, and she would basically meet with people, sponsors, supporters, you know, I mean, people in Korea were so gracious. You know, she'd go on the radio a lot and share about the mission and all these certain things. And one day she met this one particular lady, and she was a prophetess. And there's a lot of these kind of women, seem to be in Korea a lot. And so, and she really, really heard from the Lord. She came, and so, she was really good. And so she turned to my mom, and when they first met, she looked at my mom and said, "You have a son." Wow. Not so prophetic, right? 50-50, okay? You know? But it says, "But you have a son, and he's a pastor." And then that really got my mom's interest, like, whoa, okay, so something's going on here. And then this is what this lady said, and he says, "And your son, he actually fasts a lot." And it's true, during that season, for whatever reason, I was fasting a lot. And this is what this lady said. He said, "The reason why your son is fasting a lot is because there's not a lot of people praying for him. And there's a lot of things that God wants him to do, and there's a lot of warfare coming against him. And so it's almost as if God, you know, kind of, honestly, during that time, I didn't know why. There was no big prayer, you know, but I just felt compelled to continually go before the Lord in fasting and prayer. And so and this lady said that because no one's praying for your son. Like, he doesn't have strong intercession around him. And so he's kind of preempting that by spending these seasons in prayer and fasting. And I think in a lot of ways, that's kind of true what's happening now. Right now, you may not be in such a dire situation. But could it be that when we start this year in that way, it prepares you to handle stuff that's coming our way? This lady was basically saying that, basically, I was interceding for myself, you know, and you know, shortly after, God would bless me with a lot of intercessors. It doesn't mean I stopped fasting, you know, but the urgency is not as strong back then or now that it was back then. But there's something about that. It prepares the way of the Lord for us, as well as help us defeat the evil one. And so maybe many of us, you know, we don't feel a strong impetus because, you know, there's no exterior circumstance coming our way that really propels us. But maybe God is preparing the way of the Lord in some way for something that's coming your way or our way as a church. But that's not our case today. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that today, right now, we have members of our church that are very, very sick. Very, very sick. You know, and we're coming to really an end of what the doctors can do, the end of what modern medicine can do, and even though there's a lot of different things that can happen, and we're very closely nearing the end of that stage. We are faced with, and this is one of our church members, you know, you guys would know him, he's Calvin. You know, and we are faced as a body with an insurmountable circumstance. This is like above our pay grade. This is above the doctor's specialist pay grade. And this is only something that we can humble ourselves and go before the Lord and cry out for his mercy. We have no other avenue. I mean, we're getting very, very close to that. We need a miracle. Don't misunderstand, brothers and sisters. We need a miracle. Calvin needs a miracle. Alicia, their son Christian, needs a miracle. And so we're faced. So I'm not talking about something that's happening in the future, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about something that's going on right now in the midst of us. And just think about this for a moment of time, okay? And I don't want to draw this out in any way, but just think about this. We've been basically fasting for about 11 days right now, you know, and are willingly on our own. I want you to know our brother has not been eating for the last 30 plus days, and it's not because he doesn't want to, because he can't. And it's just the way his body and the way his reacting right now, he can't do that. And so, to be honest, you know, one of the things I'm actually drawing a tremendous amount of strength and encouragement for my brother Calvin during this time. You know, I'll go visit him, and he is still worshiping God. I mean, there's not been one time I've gone to the hospital where he's been and there's not worship music playing in the background. And him and Alicia or him by himself is worshiping the Lord. I draw strength even from his weakness at this time. And I go in, and when I feel hungry, you know, all throughout, right? I feel hungry. I remind myself, well, I can do this willingly. I have a brother who can't do this right now. And so this is nothing compared to what he's going through. And so it draws me to my knees to pray and fast. This is corporate. This is one of these things that the whole church has to get a part of and be a part of. Brothers and sisters, we need a miracle. This is an insurmountable circumstance. And so, you know, this is not some far-fetched, you know, thing or something, an example. This is real, and it's happening right now. And I want to encourage you, if you're a member of this church, right, and you know, the Bible tells us that we're a family, that we're brothers and sisters. You know, we have a brother that's in a tremendous amount of need right now, and it's upon us to go on our knees before him. I was so encouraged this week during morning prayer when I was teaching. And it was, you know, the story in Matthew and other parts as well. And it's the friends bring the paralytic to Jesus. And the friends, you know, in this passage, open up the roof, and because there's no room in Peter's home in Capernaum, they open up the roof and they bring him Jesus' presence. And Jesus says, seeing their faith, you know, he says, you know, basically, get up. And he gets up and he gets totally healed. And I was so encouraged by that. And I feel like this is the only thing we can do. You know what I mean? We can make a hole in the roof or we can do something, but we can carry our friend to Jesus. And in our day and age, how can we carry our friend? We can carry our friend with our prayers. We can literally carry him into the presence of Jesus and say, Jesus, would you heal my friend? And I think that's the privilege that we have as friends and as members of the family. We need a miracle and we need the strength of God to overcome. It's for insurmountable circumstances. Now is the time. Amen? This is why we fast. Let's close our eyes and invite the team to come. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit encourage us, strengthen us to fight the good fight of faith. Not only to fast and pray for Calvin, but so many other grandparents and moms and dads that don't know Jesus, that need healing. Let's carry them with our prayers and fasting to the presence of Jesus. Let's knock down walls. Let's kick open doors. Let's make holes in ceilings and get them into the presence of Jesus. Let's recommit ourselves. As the worship team leads us, I just want you to respond to the Lord with your commitment right now.
my heart and lay it down at the feet of you who's crowned. Take my life and let it go, lift it up to you whose throne. And I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. And I will bow down before you, only you, Lord.
Let's rise to our feet and let's go before the Lord. Let's sing this as an anthem before God.
And I will worship, yes, I will. I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. And I will bow down before you, only you, Lord. Only take my heart. So take my heart and lay it down at the feet of you who's crowned. Take my life and let it go and lift it up to you. And take my fret and take my fret, take my fears. All I have, I'm leaving, yeah. Be all my hopes, be all my dreams, be all my delights, my everything. Yes, I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. And I will bow to worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. I will bow down before you, only you, Lord. Bow before you, Jesus. Only you, Lord. Only you are worthy. Only you are worthy. Bow before you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus.
Why don't we close our eyes? If you are facing an insurmountable circumstance today, these days, maybe in your marriage, maybe it's a health thing with you or your family, but there's something it's an insurmountable circumstance. All the heads, eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want you to raise your hand right now. Just lift your hand right now before the Lord. Just lift them nice and high. You keep that hand raised, okay? All right, church, if your hands are not raised, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look around. Man, look at all these brothers and sisters that also need this time of prayer and fasting. What? Go to them right now. Find someone. Lay hands on them right now and just pray. You don't need to know what it is, but just pray. And you receive. As soon as you feel that hand on you, put your arm down and just receive from the Lord right now. Let's cry out to God for our family right now. Let's cry out to Jesus. Lord, have mercy, God. Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus. I want you to know that your church is standing by you through this. The Lord wants you to know that you're not alone. But even though we may not know the circumstance or the situation, God knows. And when we pray together as a church, we're praying for you. So thank you, God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, Lord. God, we especially want to lift up all the hands that were raised, God, and would you move, God, in the midst of their circumstance. We cry out mercy, God. Have mercy on them, Lord. God, we don't know, need to know what it is because you already know, God. And so would you release the answer? Would you release the breakthrough? Would you release the healing or the provision? Whatever it may be, God, would you move on their behalf, Lord? We thank you for such a time as this that you give us as a body, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to stay right there. This is what I want you to do. If you pray for that person, just get their name. You didn't know anything else. And you commit to praying and fasting for them for the rest of these 21 days, okay? Just get a name. Just say, if you don't know who they are, you say, man, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fast for you the rest of our time together. All right, if you need some prayer, you can make your way to the front. And our well ministers will pray for any healing or any needs that you have. The rest of us, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday today. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7:00.